Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. It is that time again here on this very radio station. Time for Elf in the Room. It's 1 o'clock. It's Saturday. You know what that means. It is time for the great folks of the RCAC, the Republican Committee of Allegheny County, Allegheny.gop for more information, to come and do their thing. And the best part about doing this, from my point of view, I sit in the catbird seat here watching everything happen, watching Sam DeMarco, watching John Schneider, watching the rest of his crew go down, is to get to meet so many neat, new people, exciting people, people from all walks of life doing what they can to serve the Republican Party here in Allegheny County as best they can. I've got two gentlemen here to join me here this week. I've never met either of you before. How wild is this? And introduce yourself and tell the people who you are and what you're all about.
Yes, sir. My name is Bob Krankovic. I'm a young Republican from Allegheny County, more specifically McCandless. Got definitely involved with the movement roughly around 2016, give or take. Was a former Democrat roughly at that time, and then since been on the Trump train and hasn't looked back ever since. So it's an honor to be here with you today. And I'd like to also thank and give a big hat tip to Sam DeMarco for everything that he's done, especially putting this podcast together. And not only that, and wish him well on his future endeavors. I'd also like to thank Jason Ritchie, the newly elected RCAC chair.
Yeah, I don't know if that's news that came out this week or not. I know it was sort of, for those of us here who get to sit in the room while Sam does his thing, you know, maybe now the cat's out of the bag, that it was sort of something that had been sort of a little bit in the works. I know there was an election, of course, in a process to name Jason the new chair, but very excited about that. Jason's a great dude. He's been here a couple times as a guest of Sam's, and great guy, and could not think of a better person to do that. Congratulations and all the kudos in the world to Jason. So who do you have with you in studio?
I have here in studio with me my great friend Luke Bruno. Luke made quite a bit of headlines, especially during COVID time, considering he and his gym, Fitness Works, were the only ones to actually stay, that were opening and stayed open during the entire pandemic run.
I just want to say thank you to Bob for inviting me on with him. So I've been a small business owner for the last 12 years now. I got started, same thing, in the Young Republic Committee with Bob in 16. I've been on and off for the last couple of years just due to work schedule, but I'm happy to be here, and thank you guys for having me on.
So where can people find more information out about you and the company?
Okay, so we can find out on the website. It's www.fitnessworks.com, sure. And it's spelled W-E-R-Q-S.
Okay, I like it.
And then
blow up the search engines. I love it. I love it.
And then again, on our Instagram and social media, we have—
on all the socials.
Very unique name, that's for sure, which was good. But our topic today, what I decided to pick out, was the first 30 days of the 47th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Most recently, I guess the kind of the big headline that came across was that the gold cards with regards to the citizenship. So I think that was interesting. I was just curious to what Luke's take was on the whole situation.
I mean, I think it's a great idea. I mean, so it's going to replace the EB-5?
Yeah, the
EB-5 work visa.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, Secretary Lutnick went into it, and he's like, oh, yeah, this is what they're replacing. But, yeah, you're exactly right, the EB-5. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no problem. No, I think it's amazing. I think it'll a couple things it'll do. One, it'll help root out through fraud, because you have how many people that come in, get these work visas, take a big loan out, and just kind of leave with it.
Yeah.
And then there's no way to get it back. So this way you're really getting people who have it, who want to invest in the country.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a great thing.
Oh, absolutely. No, and quite frankly, you want people to actually have financial stake
exactly.
in the game. And if it, or skin in the game, as it were. So if they, you know for a fact, if you have $5 million, you're not messing around with regards to financials. Yeah. So, but to the president's credit, he's going to be like, yeah, let's have these people come in here. Let's have them start small businesses, and let's have the economy grow. So, which is definitely big time growth, or I should say bigly growth. The other big kind of big headline was also this Gulf of America. And you kind of see the, dare I say, the tolerant left be so applauding and so laudatory with regards to changing the Gulf of America here.
I mean, I think it's another thing. It's a name change. We've been protecting it, controlling it for, gosh, how many years now? I mean,
right.
It's ours. So yeah. I don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand the backlash, especially from even you got a little bit of clapback from the president of Mexico, where she was just like, oh, we want to change this back and that sort of stuff. And I actually couldn't believe it.
No, I agree. I mean, Mexico does nothing to maintain it.
Right.
As far as anything. So, I mean, they're reaping all the benefits and we're taking care of it.
And quite frankly, we have more real estate involved with
the
Gulf of America than they do. So why do they get the pleasure of the right of calling it the Gulf of Mexico? I agree. Oh, I get another big thing that hit the wire the other day was the Epstein list. So why was that kind of not released? And my understanding is that there was a... the SDNY was involved with withholding documents as per Pam Bondi. So what did you think of that, Luke?
I liked how they're releasing it to different media outlets and different sources other than just your typical mainstream media. So it gets the information out there and unedited, undoctored, unbiased. It amazes me that they would hold on this list. I think that whoever is holding on, I think they should be prosecuted for obstructing justice.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand. Well, I guess this is the quote-unquote, regardless of what adjective you want to use, whether you want to call it deep state, you want to call it embedded state, call it what have you, but this is just the typical bureaucratic elect, which we did not elect, that are in there kind of simply... messing around with this stuff. And quite frankly, I mean, even the stuff with the chat rooms and, you know, doing this privately. And, you know, I heard something along the other lines the other day that they have private servers and they're deleting these private servers.
It's insane. I don't know how, if you're just a person with any kind of conscience and moral value, you do not want this list out. Just to see, like, who are these people? Who are these? Are they our leaders in our Congress, Senate? Are they business owners, movie stars? I mean, who knows? I mean, why would you not want this out? I mean, serious crimes and were committed during this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if it's that bad, the public should know about it. Because you know why? We're the taxpayers.
Agreed.
We deserve this information. They shouldn't be hiding this from everybody. I mean, absolutely bonkers. Yeah, and coming back to Mexico briefly... It seems like correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like the Mexican president is seemingly running cover for all these drug lords in Mexico. Is that crazy to think?
I mean, there's no doubt that Mexico is definitely, they don't want to be considered a terrorist, like holding state-country,
yeah.
But they're definitely covering for, it's run by the cartels.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows it.
Right. And I don't understand why this hasn't been done like kind of earlier, where it makes you wonder if anybody else higher up was involved with this, is seemingly just letting it happen.
Absolutely.
Letting it happen. So that's a little bit out there. Yeah, and this was another thing that's been bugging me kind of relatively recently. And it goes back to, you know, they're blaming Elon essentially for everything, and they're kind of trying to drag him through the mud, and it's terrible because, you know, he threw down with MAGA, he threw $250 million into the campaign, and he didn't do it through the donor class or the elites that run some of these outfits. He decided to put it right in. There's a direct cash injection, so I think that he deserves to be at the table. But you know, I just don't understand why coming back to it again, the tolerant left wants to go in and say, we really dislike oligarchs and we don't like what they stand for. However, most of their donor base is oligarchs, you know. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Hoffman of Netflix, let's just say that. The gentleman from Salesforce, I can't remember, Mark Benioff. Also billionaire oligarchs, but they that's their donor base.
Exactly. I mean, it's your typical double standard. What's good for us is okay, but for you, no. That's bad.
That's exactly
we can
right.
do that.
Exactly
we're
right.
okay, but you know, you got no, you're crossing a line here.
Yeah. Everybody's a rich guy, the rich Republican Party. That's not no. I mean, that's we are very much grassroots, and listen to everybody and want to hear from everybody. And everybody's allowed to have their opinion around here.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas opposed to the tolerant left. You know, that you simply fall in line or get out of the way. That's what it seems like to me.
No, I agree.
I happened to hear Vice President Vance at the prayer breakfast, and he sounded like he's coming on strong and emerging as quite a big leader here. What do you think?
You know, when Vance first got the nomination, I was a little apprehensive. I didn't know too much about him, but I absolutely love him. He's really taking a big part, a big role in this administration, getting out there, unlike previous administration where half the time you had no idea who our vice president was. But yeah, no, he's doing a great job, and I really think you're going to see him for a very long time as the leader of this party after Trump steps down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or better yet, to piggyback on your point a little bit, you don't know exactly. Not only did we not get any of the truth from Kamala, but did she not answer a question during the entire campaign? And not to mention 60 Minutes heavily editing magical clips and be like, oh yeah, and they were slapping them together and piecing them together. I mean, why would they run that cover for her that hard? Why?
I mean, I think it always comes down to the left just hates Trump.
Yeah.
That bad.
True.
And they will do whatever's possible to make sure he's not in and someone else is, even if it's someone who is not qualified to run a local, you know, coffee stand for the most part. But that's their thinking and thought process, and that's what they will live and die by if they need to.
I fully believe that she could not run a lemonade stand if you spotted her, the lemons, the sugar, and the water. I mean, she'd have a hard time.
She would have no idea what to do.
She'd be like, ooh, government. But yeah, quite frankly, it's a shame that it was, how do I want to say it? It's a shame that it was that bad out of a candidate. It's a shame. Not to go out and defend her because she doesn't need it, but.
Oh, no. But, I mean, I think the more and more you look, the Democratic Party really has no leadership. They really have no one that stands out. It's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're just grasping for anything, any kind of hope, anything.
That's well said. Either that or it's the, dare I say, checkbox politics, where they're just checking off boxes for whatever affliction that happens to be the current wind, as it were. So, yeah, you're right. They're in deep doo-doo, for lack of a better term. Yeah, it seemed like, coming back to the Epstein list a little bit, the SDNY seems to be holding it up, especially for the most part. Yeah, and I also stepped through that math a little bit with regards to the gold cards. And it looks like if there were $5 million a piece and they had 1 million new people, that would be $1 trillion. So at least that's what I got out of it.
I mean,
so
that's quite a nice chunk of change there.
Definitely. Most definitely.
That's also not counting like these investors and these members with the gold card own businesses. They'll open more here, employ more people, which is just more money funneling in.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not want that?
Yeah. How could you be against that? How could you be the Democrats and be like, oh, this is terrible. We're bringing in people.
We're bringing in jobs, bringing in money, but that's not good.
Because, I mean, working
it wasn't our idea.
That's exactly right.
That's all it is.
That's exactly right. I mean, working in finance, you have to have some sort of mechanism, especially with regards to the government. There's not too many ways that the government makes money. If you really think about it, it's simply fees and taxes.
Yes.
And now Trump said, we want to bring in tariffs. Why not? Because after all, so small example. So I have a phone holder, okay, and it's leather. I bought it from Walmart. It was $3.39, made in China, right? You go to the American, because I looked at this once. They had a American product that was roughly around $35. So you have to have there's definitely an imbalance there with regards to, especially just cost. Because, I mean, the CCP wants to go make everything pennies on the dollar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a big balance. And I love the idea of tariffs and the reciprocal tariffs, too, because for how long have, you know, certain countries don't take our goods. They don't take percentages of it. We're not allowed to sell certain vehicles, but we take everything. So we accumulate, 80% of some countries' income.
Yeah.
And they take on a percentage, if that?
Exactly.
I mean, the balance has to be fair. We can't just keep dishing out money and paying for everyone else when we're here struggling sometimes.
You're right. The reciprocity has to happen.
I mean,
it has to.
And then you think about it, it brings in business. It's going to make these companies want to build here, add more jobs, when they're going to look at it and say, okay, it costs us $8,000 to make a car in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
It costs us $13,000 to make it here in the U.S.
Right.
Do we, A, build that plant, employ more people, build them there for eight, or do we just eat that, you know, $6,000 difference
right.
and ship the car over with the tariff factor?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, either way, it's better for us all around to do this.
Yeah, indubitably. Yeah, and piggybacking off of that a little bit, I mean, it's interesting because they're going to, the reciprocity definitely has to happen, especially I like the fact that he's considering the EU tariffs too, because I think the EU, I think we do a lot more business in with the EU than what people tend to believe.
Oh, I agree.
And I mean, the it befuddles me why they, and the president's point, he goes, they don't take Chevrolets in Germany. They don't take Jeep Grand Cherokees in Germany and in Europe. So, I mean, there has to be reciprocity there.
I agree, 100%.
So, guys, what do you think about overall? You know, you're both involved. You're both involved politically. You're both involved with you know, local affairs. Of course, you have a lot of thoughts and ideas about what's happening here. What sort of vibe do you see right now? I mean, you guys have been around the area for both. You're in the business community. You're in the social network community. What's your take on the vibe right now in terms of where you're seeing the party right now? Obviously, you got to think it's got as much momentum as it's had in this number of years. Where do you see it heading? Obviously, with Donald Trump doing his thing right now in the White House, and you talked about J.D. Vance being maybe the next man up. There's still some, you know, a lot of different candidates involved. Where do you see this the party heading both now and into the future?
Well, I think with the president picking such a not only a diverse cabinet, but also a very talented cabinet.
Sure.
You're definitely going to have, there's definitely, regardless of which candidate we have come the next go around, it's going to be a challenge for everybody, for sure. And it's going to be a hotly contested party, for sure. The vibe that I get is that I think people are happier. I mean, it feels like a country on, right after the election was taken care of, it seemed like there was a big lift off of everybody's shoulders for the most part. Now,
sure.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with regards to the Ukraine and other kind of foreign issues happening here in the very near term here. And what are we going to do with regards to this, not only the deficit, but also the tax cuts that are extended to sunset.
And you talk about internationally, of course. It seems now more than ever the U.S. is involved with what's going on between Russia and the Ukraine, with the meeting with Zelensky and some of the other things happening there, and of course the back and forth with Trump and Putin. Also, the Gaza Strip, right? Israel and Palestine,
right?
And not to mention the negotiations, the ongoing back and forth at the and the tariffs, but with both Canada and Mexico. Talk about where you see the country heading globally in terms of the role that the U.S. is playing, sort of within the context of the world. Because we have neighbors. I mean, you'd love to think America first, but we do have neighbors, and you have to interact with them. And that's what the global citizenship is all about. Talk about where you see America on the global stage.
Well, I think that America first does not mean America alone.
Sure.
I think that we need to work with partners all across the globe, and quite frankly, there should be partnerships. But the question is that do we have other actors that are working in conjunction with our adversaries?
Sure.
But that's a big question. But Luke, I'm sure you have.
Oh, no. I mean, I agree with Bob. I think that, you know, America first also, yeah, does not mean that we're not alone in this. And I think you're looking at further on in the future, more of a united partnership with everyone, a more equally balanced, opposed usually to where, you know, we're taking more of the butt end of everything.
Sure.
So I think you're going to see a lot more of America leading now, since President Trump's been in office, opposed to where we kind of took a back seat the last 4 years and just let everyone else run amok. And energy, I feel I've noticed much more upbeat.
Sure.
Everyone's much more energized. I think the party's heading in a great direction.
You work in a gym.
the day after the election in my business, in my gym, I mean, young kids up to, you know, older adults, everyone was just, you could see like relief.
Mm-hmm.
everyone was just relieved and excited about what's coming and what's going to happen. And I mean, it was a great feeling. So I think, but I think, yeah, you're going to see a lot of partnerships and, more importantly, equal partnerships.
Sure.
I think that's the main thing that we need to focus on.
Now, Luke, you are involved, of course, with the gym. That's going to lead my mind to a natural question, natural transition. Of course, we talked about the diversity and the line items of Trump's cabinet. What do you think of RFK Jr.? What do you think of Make America Healthy Again?
You know, I like RFK Jr. I think he has a different approach that we haven't seen in a very long time, if not ever. But I agree with him. I think we're such a pharmaceutical-based country when it comes to health and healing. Everything is prescribe this, prescribe that, you have that. And there's so many other ways to cure, to make yourself feel better. And I think he's open to that, which I appreciate, because that's what I do for a living. So I agree 100% on some of the stuff he's doing with peptides, with stem cells. I mean, I think they have great benefits that we're not seeing as much of before now, because, I mean, quite frankly, there wasn't money involved in curing.
Right, right.
That's the main thing.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Can we not get stem cells in this country? Is that my understanding?
I believe if
you wanted to get an injection for something that's been harboring, like let's say your elbow or your knee or something like that, correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe we can in certain places.
Okay.
I know there's a clinic in Texas that does it.
Okay.
I think there's something in Butler County that does it.
Oh, really? There. Okay.
But it varies. I mean, I know I have, I mean, you know as well, I was injured recently. I have nerve damage down the whole right side of my body, lower
right.
back, leg.
Right.
And I've asked for that, and they said
and
no.
They
declined.
No. So, for Pete's sakes. And I think the greatest thing about Bobby Kennedy, not only, if you haven't taken the time to listen that to his speech on when he did kind of get out of the race, it was a total evisceration of the Democratic Party, if you really think about it. I mean, he went in there chapter and verse. To your point, I think Bobby Kennedy is making logic great again. So, for example, he was given he was mentioning on, I believe it was Fox News in the morning, where he goes, you know, McDonald's French fries in Europe have like three ingredients. They have sugar, salt, and beef tallow. Whereas the McDonald's French fries here stateside have like 38 ingredients. And, it ends in an IATE or something like that. But, I mean, it's making it, it's more logical to go about doing that. And not only that, it'll be cost effective too.
And he's bringing to light the, for lack of a better term, westernization of a lot of those industries, and we've known that for a long time. I mean, if you have Chinese food here, the American version of Chinese food is a lot sweeter, a lot syrupier, and decidedly probably less healthy than actual in China Chinese food. You can make that analogy for any other country. So at least RFK is bringing that to light. So that's something definitely to keep an eye on here. It's going to be just about that time for the RCAC to do their thing, pay their bills, take a break. We're going to take a quick break here. We've got the news and some other things coming up here. And this is the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Elephant in the room. Love this time of day. The show presented in conjunction with the great folks at the RCAC, Republican Committee of Allegheny County. By the way, allegheny.gop for more information on the great stuff they've got going on. So much stuff they have going on, thanks to the leadership of Executive Director John Schneider, the new chairman in waiting, Jason Ritchie. So a lot of great stuff there, a lot of great events coming up, and a lot of great ways for you out there to get involved with everything they're doing. We'll be right back after this. This is the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. More to come. Elf in the room. Stay close. Back at it here, Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. It is Saturday afternoon. It is time for the elephant in the room once again, back from the break. And Bob and Luke are here in the studio joining me again. By the way, elephant in the room, the product of the brainchild of John Schneider, the executive director, and the soon-to-be chairman, Jason Ritchie, and the rest of the great folks, the great staff at the RCAC, Republican Committee of Allegheny County, allegheny.gop, for more information on the great work they do and the ways they serve the Republican Party of Allegheny County and all of its constituents. And, guys, we were talking during the break, a lot of stuff on the table here, and I'm just going to hand it over. I'm shutting up. You guys are the stars here. I'm shutting up. Do your thing, and you guys are the ones in charge here. So talk about a couple of things I saw you writing down there, a little piece of paper during the break.
Yeah, so we got a big election coming up in the House District for a man who needs no introduction. His name's Chuck Davis, and He's quite an impressive candidate. 22 years as a fire chief. I mean, you had to be, call me old-fashioned, but you had to be very dedicated to love your community that much to be a fire chief. But not only that, for 22 years, that's fantastic. He was also on the White Oak Planning Commission, and he was also endorsed by our friends at GOA. So that could not be a better candidate for that particular House district. And that election is coming up in the very near term here, roughly around the end of March, March 25th of this year. So get out and vote for Chuck Davis, because the PA House does hang in the balance. So just make sure I wanted to mention that. Coming back to the federal stuff here briefly, Luke, as I saw here, and I'm quoting a Hill article here, dated here February 26 this year. I couldn't believe this, and this was shocking to me because this hits to my heart because I actually was diagnosed with ADHD. It says 15% of American youth are now on Adderall or some other form of medication for ADHD. Can you believe that?
I mean, yeah, I can actually. I'm surprised it's that low.
Really?
Absolutely. It seems, okay. Yeah, it seems like every time I have a new teenager or member who signs up my facility that are in high school or grade school, they're all on some kind of ADHD medication.
No kidding.
And okay. It mind boggles me that it's the number of the people that are on it. And it just seems like they just, as soon as you come in, it's just instant prescription.
Yeah.
This is what you have.
Just throw it at them and be like, oh, yeah, here you go.
Just throw it at them. Take these, and if we'll adjust your dosage.
You're not going to have
how you feel.
Far be it for me to say, you're not going to have heart problems later. Oh, yeah, that's fine. You're not going to be sitting at home and then be like, why is my heart rate elevated all of a sudden? Normally it's 62. Now it's up to like 83. And you're like, oh, I wonder what happened here. Yeah, let's just throw it right at them. That's cool.
Well, you know, Bob, it's like a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Let's Band-Aid the problem. Hopefully it doesn't get too bad.
And I mean, and that's a great point you're bringing up, is that, you know, I happen to go to the emergency room roughly about a week or so ago now, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, we just simply come into the emergency room, we tell them what the problem is. They might not necessarily know exactly how to deal with it, but then you invariably see a doctor, and it gets kind of funneled out that way. But I mean, to your point, it's more reactionary than proactionary.
Agreed.
For lack of a better term.
I mean, and majority of people all have some form of ADHD. I mean, I'm sure I do. I know I do.
I definitely do.
Yeah. And I think it's just we're so overstimulated, especially kids today, where everything's an iPad's in front of you, a TV's in front of you.
Yeah.
Everything's so accessible, and their mind is just being overloaded.
And I mean, the sad part about it is that these kids that have the iPad all the time and are not interacting with other people, they tend to be more depressed. They tend to be more angrier and more, like, dare I say, terse, for lack of a better word, and just generally not nice people. So I just don't understand why we go about saying, oh, yeah, here you go, kid. Here's the iPad, and, you know, do what have you with it.
I think you see more and more parents, educators, teachers that just look for the simple fix. I can get them on this, and that gives me peace, and they're not going to disrupt the class, and I don't have to spend X amount of time on Jimmy than I do on Sally. It seems like it's just a time management thing a lot of the times.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. That was a big thing that I saw here relatively recently. Another thing coming back to Trump, especially with regards to the executive orders, an executive order to put out English as the official language. What did you think about that?
Why wasn't this done 20 years ago?
I know, right? I mean, what?
I mean, you go to every country across Europe, across Asia. If you're someone moving there for work or like a, you know, work visa,
right?
They're not learning our language. They're going to accommodate as much as they can. But other than that, you're pretty much out of luck unless you learn it.
Right.
And I don't see what the issue is here.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's funny, and not to say, And the tolerant left will then accuse us of, because they're such nice people, they'll say, oh, he's anti-immigrant, oh, he's anti-anybody other than what he looks like. And that's not the case at all, because if they're speaking something in another language that you don't understand, who the heck knows what they're saying about you? I mean, exactly. Let's just assume that they're not talking about you. But, I mean, it just boggles my mind. The fact that he's putting out an executive order for that, I actually like it.
I do, too.
Because I think that it's, to your point, it's a long time coming. Another issue that kind of came up here relatively recently, a House rep from the South Carolina 2nd District, Joe Wilson, put out a bill to make President Trump the face of the $250 bill. Now, is that in line with Make America Wealthy Again? I tend to believe so.
I mean, I agree with you on that. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, right. I don't know about you, Bob, but I hate carrying around a bunch of little bills. So we can get out of the way with one big bill. I'm fine with that.
One big bill.
That's it.
One big, beautiful, fantastic bill. And we love them. This is laudatory, not anger or anything like that. That was pretty big. Anguish was that was pretty big, too. Yeah, coming back to that a little bit briefly, this is going to be a crazy story. And not only that, it only happens to me, but when I was, I got season tickets for the Pittsburgh Penguins. This was a couple years ago now, and there was a young lady. She could not have been more than, let's say, 23, 24, something like that. She's like, "Oh yeah, I have to take my Adderall so I can concentrate during the game." I'm thinking to myself, "What? What are we talking about here? It's a hockey game. You're looking right at it. You're like, oh, like you mean to tell me that you're." Zoning out on that? I mean, sheesh.
And I think the biggest thing is, too, people start to rely on those medication and pills, opposing to just, you know, what's the main issue in the root of what's causing it for you?
Right.
Is it you just a hard time focusing on more than one thing at a time? Or, I mean, it's...
Or some of it, especially in my case, it's like self-starting. Like, as soon as I get started and I'm in the groove... I'm good.
Oh yeah.
But if I'm not, and I'm like kind of looking around, I'm like, okay, what do I start on first? Then that's a different story. I actually took medication roughly from, around the fifth or sixth grade, all the way up through Duquesne, and at that time, I just didn't want to take it anymore. I just felt like there was, and you know, with any of these things, especially. Like you said, with stimulants, you probably have a negative effect as the longer you do it. So it's going to have a time decay is what I'm getting at.
And then your body gets used to it over time.
True.
So then you're upping your dosage, which is not good for you.
Right. Right. And I mean, I just, call me crazy. I use coffee just to simply supplement it. And I not only that, it's more natural. It's, you know, you could get it all the time, you know, that sort of jazz, too.
I have to admit, I have a energy drink addiction.
Mm.
I do love my Monsters and my C4s, but...
No kidding.
It's funny, mainly not because of the caffeine. I just like the taste.
Okay. I used to do that Celsius, which is pretty good, too, but I've since jumped off the bandwagon.
The C4 popsicle flavors.
No kidding.
Fantastic.
You also got me on it. Remember when you were trying to get me on that Starburst, the watermelon?
Oh, the watermelon is great too.
Yeah, exactly. That was good. That was good. You did get me on it. And even the lady at Target was like, oh, I love these. And I was like, I have yet to try them, but as soon as I try them, I will let you know.
I mean, I have four bags at home. So.
Yeah, remember, I got you those emergency. I was like, here, you got some emergency bags. I was like, you got the stuff. So that was good. I like the fact that, now let me ask you this. What do you think will invariably happen? Do you think that, let's put it this way. Will the House come up with one big, beautiful bill as the president wants, or do you think it's going to be, bifurcated and put into two?
I would like one big bill.
Okay.
I think that would be a great way to do it. Also, though, I can see how hard it'd be to pass with one big bill.
Mm.
So
yeah.
If splitting up the two, as long as it gets the president's objectives and what is best for us in the country, I have no problem with two bills.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you.
As long as it hits the key points, I'm fine with that.
I think that what was going to happen, because here's what's probably going to, I hope, ends up not happening, is that I think that the Democrats are going to try as hard as they can to actually shut the government down and try to hold it over the president and be like, hey, we need X, Y, and Z here added to this bill here, and it might be a disaster from there henceforth. I hope that does not happen. But I would actually prefer two smaller bills, so at least they can get them through and not have devil catch the hindmost. So that's what I hope happens, but we'll see. We do have the president coming up here, and I love how they refer to it as the joint session of Congress, i.e. the de facto first State of the Union. I'm not sure if anybody... Yeah, I found that out the other day. I was like, oh, okay, that's what they call it. It was like joint session of Congress. I go, don't they usually call that the State of the Union? They're like, yeah. Which was interesting. I'm not sure if you knew that or not.
No, not yet.
Yeah. It's very interesting, to say the least. But we'll see how he lays out his vision coming forward here.
Listening to you guys and talking about the various things you're seeing, you mentioned some of the local stuff happening, some of the local races. Yeah. They say all politics is local. What impact do you see on the grounds where you walk, on the people you talk to, the places where you live? What impact do you see the national scene happening on there in terms of local races, talking city, county, your neighborhoods? What impact do you see? You talked about saw in your gym, people were happy, you know, just relieved, the burden off the back the day after the election. What are you seeing just anecdotally, just walking around this world called life, and what do you see in terms of the impact locally? You're talking about maybe during the break about some county things you might be noticing.
I mean, just like I said, I've noticed a lot of more people are more upbeat,
by the way.
I'm more happy with the current situation they're in and knowing that things are going to get better. Also, you do see some things with local politicians and local politics with the county and city that they are going to do the complete opposite of what the president's doing or the president is looking to do just to be difficult for the most part,
right?
Like the Allegheny County tax raise.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah,
wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah,
magically, it just happened.
It just happened. And I correct me if I'm wrong, Luke. I think Sarah, and I may be off on this, but didn't Sarah kind of pledge that she was saying no new taxes? Didn't
Sarah
kind of run on that?
Sarah said no new tax increase, no new taxes.
Mm.
Then she wanted to push the property tax increase to help the city schools. Now, remember that.
Right. Oh, but, all those ones that are going to be scheduled to shut down.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
But as she was smart enough to realize that people can argue that, people can fight the assessment, it eventually would backfire.
Right.
But if she raised the taxes, you can't argue that.
Yeah.
You can't fight that.
That's true.
So that was their way of pushing that through.
And not only that, she, and I can't remember the gentleman's name right off the top of my head, but he was in there and they had a consortium that was like, oh yeah, you have to do something. And whether it's be closing schools or something like this, and he more or less was the hatchet man for her.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So yeah. And I mean, yeah, $500 a year is like no chump change for anybody. And I mean, that just happens to be my case, but I mean, that's bonkers.
It is.
In my opinion. Turning back to the federal stuff here again, what did you think, or what's your opinion of these, dare we say, rogue judiciary come out and be like, oh, we're going to put a TRO on, you know, the president stopping USAID?
You know, as well as everyone knows, it's all politically driven. It on what side they sway and who got them their appointment and
true
who made them a judge, and they're going to back those individuals. So, I mean, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, what you're seeing with USAID is the amount of just wasteful spending that they can't account for half the stuff where it went for.
Mm-hmm.
And then other things that are quite frankly ridiculous.
And
And I think if you pulled and showed, you know, a million American people what they thought about this, I'm going to say 95% of them would agree that it's a waste.
Right. And I was arguing with a liberal, a dare I say, tolerant left friend of mine. And she said, well, Elon's running the country and Elon's doing this. And I said, she was making a point because she's a little bit on the older side as opposed to the younger side. She goes to me, she goes, she was trying to, like, I don't want to say Irish guilt me, but a little bit of that, even though she's Italian. She's like, I hope that they have Social Security for you whenever you need it and that sort of jazz. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, because ironically enough, her name's Karen. So that's just funny. But I even said to her, I go, Karen, you want somebody that's 150 years old collecting Social Security? That sound good to you? Like, of course she didn't.
And I think the biggest thing, the people that complain and whine and argue these issues, they don't bother to look in too heartily anything that what actually is going on with Social Security, Medicare. Like, they're cutting, like you said, people who are 150, 200 years old, like duplicate payments.
I want to know what they're on, like, to get out to 200
exactly.
years old.
And they're cutting in, like, they're cutting and doing things like, if you're an able-bodied 27-year-old man mm-hmm. or woman who can go work,
right,
you're going to be cut.
And yeah.
You shouldn't be living off the system.
Yeah.
And I agree 100% with that. Now, if you're disabled, of course, or can't work, absolutely.
You have some sort of issue.
They're not cutting that.
Yeah.
They're cutting the waste.
Exactly. Exactly. And as soon as she was telling me that, I'm like, you have to be kidding me here. I can't believe it. I gotta argue even against it.
And then you have to argue the Elon factor that everyone...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has no right. You're talking about probably one of the smartest men ever.
Yeah.
To live. And why wouldn't you want him going through everything?
Right.
Everything he does.
Well, you're going to find this crazy. I know for a fact that some of those IRS systems have floppy disks, have CDs. I mean, we're talking, for lack of a better term, ancient technology here. But meanwhile, you have the world's IT expert, i.e. Mr. Musk, come in and say, hey, we gotta like change these systems around. I think it's fantastic.
I agree. I mean, if it was the other way around, they would be praising him.
right.
This is the most amazing man ever. He's doing such a great job. But yeah. Once again, because it's catching things that they have done.
I want to...
The mismanagement over their tenure. Oh, God forbid you point that out.
I should pull up a shareholder statement that said, oh, what happened since Tesla and since Elon threw down with Musk, or Trump threw down with Elon, pardon me, and has since went through and said, what have those sales been looking like ever since? I'm going to guess they're on a downward decline. But he also has technology and other, he's also got other people trying to get in there too, around the same space. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be. It's interesting, to say the absolute least. Well, I want to make sure that I also plug our lovely Allegheny.gop. If we head to the website, Allegheny.gop, and you can donate and get on RCAC's mailing list and get on the weekly trunk emails, which are always very informative. And, yeah.
And what else do you guys see in terms of how, again, because you're out there and out and about the community, what other ways do you see people getting involved? I mean, yes, obviously we have the basic, the bare bones ability to vote in the elections. But, and I know, you know, being in this seat, that having seen John and Sam and Jason and some of the other great leaders every week, they're all doing different things. What do you guys see in terms of people, their involvement, in terms of what they're doing to get involved in the community?
I mean, I've seen more people getting involved in social media.
Okay, using social media as that platform.
Using social media as their platform, a lot more people posting, making people more aware, getting more involved that way. I've seen a lot of that in the northern Pittsburgh area, mm-hmm. and especially with a lot of younger. I'm seeing a lot of younger males and females getting way more involved in politics.
That seems like it's the biggest takeaway, at least it was from the election and other things as well, that the Republican candidates, starting with Trump, won a lot more of those demos, the younger male demos. Mm-hmm. It seems like they came out a lot fuller force for Trump and for, you know, down ballot than they have in past years. It seems like that's sort of the biggest, maybe one of the biggest sort of shock takeaways that a lot of people really didn't see coming, given the past history of how those demographics vote.
Well, and to your point, you also saw famous athletes come sure. out and be like, you had A.B. coming out for him. You had Le'Veon Bell coming out for him. You had Jack Lambert coming out for him. Steelers young and old that were coming out absolutely. For him, which was interesting to say the absolute least. I mean, you had a groundswell from a movement that started practically that said, make America great again. That's our tagline. And, I think, Luke, you hit it right on the head where these kids are coming out and they're like saying, yeah, I'm wearing the hat, and if people don't like it, that's on them.
Yeah, exactly.
F-A-F-O, as it were.
I mean, I think the biggest thing was, like, there's a likability factor about Trump. He's just like your grandpa. I mean,
exactly
he's like
right.
the funny grandfather you see telling jokes and making statements and saying what he wants. And
he's the uncle and I always wanted.
More people like that. Like, he's honest.
Yeah.
He's not a politician.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what's great about him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he in 2020 was making fun of my politics. He's like, I could do this and I could tell you, God bless him. Yeah, he was saying everything.
And I always tell people,
ripping on him left and right.
When everyone says bad things about him, I go, listen, if you ever notice, all of his children are always with him.
Mm.
His grandkids are always with him and speak highly of him. I go, that True. Speaks volumes. Of
well
a
said. Well said.
When you had the previous president had two or three grandkids that he never saw, or was that, is that okay to say right
that's
now?
Yeah, exactly that's, right. He magically, I'm not, did Hunter have another baby daughter? I don't know. Like, and he's not, to your point, he's not even acknowledged some of these existences with these kids, which was
so I think you saw a little
sad.
More of relatable.
Mm, yes.
And how he acts and yeah. stuff he says.
And you see him, he's at these UFC fights. The crowds are all cheering for him. He's like high-fiving people on the way in.
Oh, absolutely.
You think Biden would be doing that?
No.
Absolutely not.
He's been at, how many events over the last month?
Yeah.
Publicly that you've never seen a president do that before.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody's legitimately shocked. And I mean, that groundswell really kind of hit with me, especially during the New York Jets game. I happened to be honored to be going to that, and I happened to get tickets. And, you saw people that were cheering there. Yeah, heck, I even saw people that not only did they have the hat on, but they're also rocking the sneakers too, which I couldn't believe it, the all gold getup. But, yeah, it was quite a run. To say the least.
So as we wrap things up here, just ready to take things home here on the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJS. Again, the elf in the room, Allegheny.gop for more information on the great work done by John Schneider, the executive director, Jason Ritchie, the soon-to-be chair, and the great staff. And by extension, Bob, Luke, and some of the other great people here that's just making everything work. What final thoughts do you have as we wrap up here? And also be sure to plug anything as well that you guys have coming up. Any websites, of course, your the gym once again. Any steps to action that you guys have in terms of what you have going on once you leave these hallowed halls here at WJS?
After you.
I mean, you know, just the like to plug my business, Fitness Works. I'm in Allison Park.
Where in Allison Park is it?
So I'm right off Mount Royal, right in Hampton.
Okay.
So between Hampton and Shaler, right in that little area right there.
Sure. Yeah, I'm a South Hills boy, but okay. I know I did a lot of work back in the day with Enterprise Bank. Are they still,
okay.
They're still on
Mount Royal?
I'm actually
right behind Enterprise Bank.
Okay, yeah, right.
In the complex right behind
yeah,
them on
okay.
Alpha Drive.
Very
yeah,
nice.
I'm
very
right
nice.
There. So
very nice.
So, yeah, I mean.
Around Mount Royal.
Gosh, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I think buckling up and enjoying for a great ride
there
the next few years.
Bob?
My name is Bob Krankovic. You can reach out to me on socials at Bob_CRANKOVIC. It's an honor to be here in the elephant of the room in the beautiful podcast here. And we're in radio for us listening here on Saturday morning. And it's an honor to be here. And I can't thank Sam and everybody in the RCAC team, everybody associated with. And it's truly an honor. Hopefully we'll be here in the very near future. Can't thank enough.
Love having it. Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJS. Elephant in the room right here on the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJS. Again, Allegheny.gop. That is the website for the Republican Committee of Allegheny County. And the great work they do, the tireless efforts from John Schneider and the rest of the staff, Jason Ritchie, of course. But all good there. We'll see you right back here in 7 days. This is the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJS. Elephant in the room. Catch you right here. Stay close. Have a great weekend.